The Peppermint Pig by Nina Borden. Read by Kate Walsh. In happy memory of my grandmother. Chapter 1. Old Granny Greengrass had her finger chopped off in the butcher's when she was buying half a leg of lamb. She had pointed to the place where she wanted her joint to be cut, but then she decided she needed a bigger piece and pointed again. Unfortunately, Mr. Grummet, the butcher, was already bringing his sharp chopper down. He chopped straight through her finger, and it flew like a snap twig into a pile of sawdust in the corner of the shop. It was hard to tell who was more surprised, Granny Greengrass or the butcher. But she didn't blame him. She said, "I could never make up my mind and stick to it, Mr. Grummet. That's always been my trouble." "Of course I can't be certain," Granny Greengrass said this, "because she died so long ago, years and years before I was born, before there were motor cars on the streets or electricity in the houses or aeroplanes in the sky. But my grandmother, Emily Greengrass, told me she said it, and I believe her, as her children, Paul and Theo and Lily and George, always believed her." Emily Greengrass was very good at telling stories. Most of her best ones were about the town in Norfolk where she was born and lived until she grew up and married James Greengrass and moved into London. There was one famous tale about a poor swineherd whose pigs had died and whose wife and children were starving. He was in despair until one night a monk appeared to him in a dream and told him that if he dug under a certain oak tree, he would find a chest of gold buried there. Paul and Theo had enjoyed this story when they were younger, but now they preferred to hear about Granny Greengrass, whose finger had been chopped off by Grummet the butcher. It was more interesting than a fairy story, partly because it had happened in their own family, and partly because they were, naturally, a bloodthirsty pair. Not that they looked it. Paul was 9 years old with a soft rosy face and long yellow hair, the colour of duckling's down, and although Theo was 10 and a half, most people thought he was younger than Paul because he was so small and thin. "About as thick through as a darning needle," was how their mother, who was a dressmaker, always described him, and his delicate features and wide, shy blue eyes made him look, to anyone who didn't know him, as innocent as a baby angel. But it was Theo who said, when their mother told them the story about Granny Greengrass for about the 100th time one dark November afternoon, "What happened afterwards? Did she spout blood?" "No, it was a clean cut," Mother said. "Hardly a drop spilled, or no more than when you bite off a young puppy's tail, or so your Aunt Sarah said. She was there, you know, but not much help by the sound of it. What she should have done was sew it back on, but Sarah was never very practical." She gave a faint sniff. "Though, clever at her school books, of course."
"You'd have sewn it on, wouldn't you, Mother?" Theo said confidently. "What a shame you weren't there. But do you think the bone would have joined up?"
Mother held up the cambric petticoat she was making for Paul and examined the tucks on the bodice. "That I can't tell. It might have done. She was a big, healthy woman." Paul said,
"What do you mean about biting off puppies' tails?"
"That's what the groom at the manor house used to do. My mother was cook there, you know. I've seen the groom pick up a new litter, one after the other, bite off the tail at the joint and spit it out, quick as a flash. The kindest way, he always said. No fuss and taradiddle, and barely a squeak from the pup." Paul squeaked herself at this thought, and Lily, who was rising 14, closed her eyes and moaned softly. George, a year older, cleared his throat, pushed his glasses up on his nose, and slammed his book shut. He thought he was too old for his mother's stories now, and had been pretending not to listen. Paul and Theo looked at Lily. She had stopped laying the table for tea and was standing still with closed eyes and a hand on her heart as if she had suddenly been seized by a terrible pain. Lily was a good actress, as good an actress as her mother.